Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
We are proud individuals living for the city, but the flames couldn't go much higher. We find to paint us with salvation, but no one, no, nobody can give you the power that the harsh reality, mass confusion, spoon fed to the blind, served now to define a cold society from which we'll rise.
Hello, hello, hello. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. I hope you all are having a beautiful Sunday, and I'm so grateful that today is not a shining, cloudless day, and you're not on Rockaways, and you're not on Fort Tilden. You're actually in your apartments listening to Radio Free Brooklyn live. So today's topic is magic hands or magic touch and channel divine energy into the human body. I know it sounds kind of creepy, but please bear with us and you'll understand that it's not a creepy thing. It's actually pretty real, but also it's pretty magical. And my guest today is Peter
Hornung Aristizabal.
Exactly, that's what he said. I have no idea how to say that, although I'm not American, English is not my first language, but I still have difficulties with pronunciation of these weird names.
One last name is German, and the other one is actually my mother's, so she's from Colombia, but I think the last name is a Basque origin.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so too.
Yeah.
Have you considered choosing a nickname to just make other people's lives easier when you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I guess this is the first time where actually somebody chose my entire name that I don't usually use in the US, but I do like it. I prefer being fully acknowledged from where I came from, both sides.
That's so great. I introduced myself to you as a Sasha, and I've been introducing myself as Sasha for all my life. I'm Sasha Sugar on Radio Free Brooklyn, but I've only now realized that I actually really like my full name, Alexandra. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I start to introduce myself as Alexandra, but then people start calling me Alex, and I'm like, no, I'm not Alex. Yeah. I'm Sasha or Alexandra. Don't call me Alex.
Yeah.
So I kind of see what you're coming from.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, so Peter is not a magician, although he has magical hands. And I promise if you stay with us, you'll see or hear or feel the truth of my words. If you still don't believe in what's happening in the studio, you can call us on the show at 718-928-9732 and express your concerns or ask us questions. It's a live show, and we'll be happy to address your concern right on the spot. So how I met Peter and why I chose him to be a guest on Radio Free Brooklyn is a story in its on its own. We met just a few days ago on Tuesday. We were attending this Inner Glow event for boosting connections in the society. It was great, kind of chill event in Soho with sound meditations and yoga. And I was looking for astrologers because I want to have a show about how to read your birth chart and how to understand the strategies in looking for your soulmate based on your birth chart. And so someone introduced me to Peter, and I thought he's an astrologer. So I was just like, yeah, let's do the show about astrology. And he's like, well, I'm not really an astrologist, but let me tell you what I can do. And I think by the expression on my face, by the skeptical expression on my face, Peter decided to
show me.
And we went almost to the bathroom. It doesn't sound good at all.
Well, yeah, we just needed to save space.
We need some privacy. Yeah. And so seriously, in less than 10 minutes, close to the bathroom, outside of the main event happening, Peter was able to really show me that he's able to tap into my body or my energy, my soul, with his hands and understand what was going on. But we'll get into that. We'll actually have a small session at the end of the show, and we'll see what happens there. But before we get to the juice of it and how I like to run the show, it is really fascinating to me to understand how a person that has a gift or has some spiritual calling comes to this. So I'd love for Peter to share your personal story of this spiritual awakening, however you want to call it. Like, how did you find your gift, and also what exactly this is? And guys, this is not Reiki. Just, I'll put it out there. This is not a Reiki session. This is more than that. So all yours.
Yeah. So it's hard to really know where to start. So I usually just start when things started to change. Probably a little bit in high school. I just found myself in these deep conversations with people, and you know, it didn't seem on the surface like anything was different, but I felt a lot when I'd have conversations with people. It would be passing through my body, and I didn't have proper guidance at the time. So when this stuff started happening, I didn't have any way to fully embrace it. So I just kind of went with it, and then I went off to college, and as college goes, you know, got into some things that kind of blocked me up, and I kind of lost touch with that feeling and that ability, and then went on. But in the back of my mind, I was always searching for those times when I had so much clarity where I felt like I was being kind of guided.
Was it a physical sensation, or it was more your connection to the heart? Like, could you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So it was always this really intense feeling. And because it was so intense, it made everything else seem like nothing. Like, I could get up in front of however many people and I would just be able to talk, because I'd already just been feeling immense intensity before then. It's just something I got used to. And I look for that. I look for opportunities to put myself in that intensity, because I know that on the other side, there's growth beyond that. And I think that's ultimately what led to my decision to move abroad. When I was in college, I got a little blocked up. I got made some bad choices, substance abuse. I just needed to get away. I needed to get away from my triggers. So I moved to, I did a study abroad in Costa Rica. And out there, I learned language very fast. My mother's Colombian, but she never taught me Spanish. Mm-hmm. So out there, it wasn't learning a language. It was learning an entire way of living, culture. And I loved the culture. And I think that's why I learned the language so fast, because I wanted to understand these people and how they lived and how their, how pura vida can turn into something you say to yourself constantly.
Was it a feeling that, yes, this is where you belong? Or why was this urge to understand and learn this culture?
Because I guess I grew up in this belief that I had to live a certain way, and it involved a lot of sacrifice for financial gain for your family, and that was very depressing for me. And I had already worked at a bank, and I was very grateful for the job, but it just wasn't for me. So that's what led to moving to Costa Rica. And that was for me at the time. It was wonderful. I learned language. I learned dance. I learned to surf a little bit. And I got to see, I was just surrounded by so much beautiful nature. And it just was never ending. So it was only supposed to be for three months, and it turned into 7. And by the end of it, I was speaking Spanish, and people were, when I'd go back to speaking English, they'd be compliment my English because I thought Spanish was my first language.
Wow. So yeah. How many months in total did you spend in Costa Rica?
Say about six and a half.
Wow. And you mastered the language.
It's not necessarily vocabulary wise. There's still stuff I'm learning in Spanish, but the accent, being able to communicate in a way that somebody can understand, that's what I was able to do. And I didn't understand that. I went to Spanish all my life. I went to class, but I never learned anything. And why is it that I'm here? And I learned it faster than people who've been studying it for years. And I wanted to know that. So when I came home, I got into writing. I would just sit for hours just writing to myself.
In Spanish?
In English. So Spanish opened up the roots of words. So it would open up these double meanings in words. And I would play with those most poetically. And it was fun. I was able to get high off of it. And I wouldn't know what I was writing at the time. And then I'd read back and be like, oh, wow, it's actually not bad.
So after college, right, you kind of felt a bit blocked off by just being consumed by this capitalistic, materialistic world. And then you moved to Costa Rica. Did you reconnect with your gifts, with your sensations there, or it also took some time?
That's a great question. It was a step in the right direction. But I had really done some severe blockages to myself before then. So Costa Rica was like rehab, I feel like. And
by severe blockages, do you mean taking drugs? Or it was more mental block?
It was emotional that manifested as substance abuse. That's how I kind of was my escape before then. But it was just a lot. Sports were always so important to me as I grew up. I wrestled my whole life. I played football my whole life, and I didn't appreciate them until I didn't have them anymore. So in college, I didn't have that outlet where I could get all of my aggression, all of my anger, and almost transmute it into confidence and strength. So instead, it came out. This aggression came out when I was just living my life, or when I was drinking. Especially, I would black out and I wouldn't remember anything.
So was aggression driven by any events in your childhood, or do you think every person has some aggression going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone has to at least, stay claim to what we all deal with for being human. but I think definitely grew up in a very aggressive environment. My father, his family, they all come from a substance abuse background. Mm-hmm. I could get into that, but I won't. But
is it
sports
still,
itself,
still hurting you?
I'm sorry?
Is it still hurting you to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, recently I just came from a funeral. My uncle passed, and, you know, all the stuff that I've dealt with, I kind of watched again just where I came from on that side, and that was hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm grateful for it too, because I learned so much, and all this stuff teaches me how to help others. And that's how, you know, we grow.
You grow.
Take advantage of our struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about some of the challenges that I faced as a child as well. And I kind of keep talking about it because I feel that I still have not fully healed. So it all makes sense to me. But going back to Costa Rica, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a great rehab. Did you reconnect with yourself, or what was your next step?
It's an interesting question, because it's almost like I connected with a part of myself I didn't even know about.
So you created a new part of yourself.
I
it's kind of a question of in your life journey, do you discover, mm-hmm. do you kind of rediscover your true self, or do you build mm-hmm. your true self?
I discovered something that I was good at that I didn't know I was good at. And I feel like I totally get where you're coming from. We create our life, but I was exposed to more than I normally had been exposed to in the past. And that led to an understanding of what I'm good at, and kept me going to discover more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So continue.
Yeah. So I came home and lived. I finished up school. I transferred away from where I went, and went to a local school in New Jersey that was cheaper, because I knew what I wanted to do was to continue exploring. So I finished school in about 3 years.
Exploring life, or exploring your connection?
Yeah, exploring my connection with travel, mostly.
Travel.
Or at least with Latin America. Because I attributed a lot of it, you know, my own to my mother, you know, and this background. That I was only, like, I grew up in America with my father's mm-hmm. side of being embraced. And mm-hmm. I went to Colombia a few times when I was young, but because of, you know, the civil war and the drug trade, the drug cartels, the narcos mm-hmm. in Colombia, it was very dangerous to go back. So we kind of just never did. And we always knew they were there. That part of us was there. But I guess we just found ways to not fully embrace it. And which was unfortunate, but it was also really great that I was able to reconnect with it now. So after school, I moved to Colombia.
How old were you then?
23.
Okay.
Yeah. And I lived there I lived in Colombia for 3 years, and then I traveled for a year through South America, or close to a year, a little less. And that was exposure.
Yeah, okay, let's start listing those exposures.
Yeah, so before I moved to Colombia, I met somebody who inspired me to pick up music and play guitar. I mentioned before I started writing. Writing just came to me, and it was like a way of communication with some different part of me that was poetic, and I could express myself. And then this thing of music came, and I was like, this is a wonderful collaboration between words and sound that will really... That felt so good. It wasn't like a logic thing of why I wanted to play music. It just felt right. And so I bought a guitar. Like this is a story in itself, is how this person just came into my life. He was like a brother, or he is a brother. But like we had never met each other before. But when we met, it was like, I said, like a familiar stranger. And we were there.
Soulmate.
Yeah. We were there to teach each other something and be there for each other in difficult times. And he gave me music. I gave him a little brother and somebody to, you know, to look up to, I guess. Or mm-hmm. someone that could look up to him and appreciate him for all the things he'd done. Mm-hmm. And
kind of see the fruits of your labor and your sharing.
Yeah, because, yeah, I felt he struggled a lot, because there wasn't people that really saw him for what he had gone through and what he had done and who he had become. Like I did. Mm-hmm. So that was great. It was only like 3 weeks. And then I moved to Colombia, and I had this guitar, and I had this like mission, undefined mission, just to go and throw myself out there and figure it out as I went on my way. And that's, I've seen as one of my strengths, but also one of my weaknesses. So Colombia was a roller coaster. there were amazing times, and then there was very dark times. But I essentially got to connect with my mother's side of the family. I worked with my aunt. I worked in foreign trade. I worked on interesting projects that had to do with the indigenous culture and cultivating coffee. And that was when I first realized that, like, social enterprise, where you could take this idea of a capitalistic idea, but turn it into something that could really do something great. And that was like my enlightenment. That was like, oh man, this is, could be something. But all the, you know, a lot of the projects I work on, they kind of fell through. They just, it's hard to get the support you need to start a business in a third world country where it's the language you're speaking is your second language.
Okay.
So that was
hard. So I didn't go too far.
No, but it was a really valuable experience, and it gave me opportunity to dominate this language more in a way where I could build connections with people. And that's ultimately the most important
and
thing.
At that time, did you start feeling again the connection to the channeling of the
no
energy,
so that came later. So 3 years in Colombia, and I'm find myself in living with a bunch of people that are very spiritual, artists, dancers, musicians, and I'm like, this is exactly where I want to be. And I was very happy, but I was like, there's got to be something else, there's got to be something more. So all the people that I met were kind of travelers or vagabonds, and they were passing
spiritual
through.
Spiritual seekers.
Yeah, seekers.
People
exactly.
on the spiritual mm-hmm. quest.
Totally. So I left and traveled. I went first to Ecuador, where I lived with a family who they had two kids with Asperger's, which was crazy. And I met them on the bus on the way there, which was it was really beautiful, actually, because I got to kind of be there for them. And you could see they'd gone through a lot emotionally with their kids. And I just kind of showed up, and I brought my guitar and was playing music, hanging out with them. Just this weird person they met on a bus, this strange foreigner. But it was really heartfelt thing, heartfelt spending time with them. And then from there, I continued down. And eventually, long story short, I made it to Peru. And in Peru.
Yay! I love Peru!
Yeah, I met up with my friend who gave me the gift of music. He just happened to be flying down to Peru to take ayahuasca. And I'm not going to lie, I had been curious for a while.
I've talked about ayahuasca on the show. You can easily talk about it.
Okay.
My audience is prepared for that, for another ayahuasca story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is like a rite of passage, I guess. But I met up with them in Lima. And from Lima, we flew out to Iquitos and went up to a retreat center and did it. We were together, and he brought Anna, my friend Anna. At the time, I didn't know her, but he brought Anna with her. She also wanted to go, so they decided to go together. And then I met up with them, and it turned into this wonderful, like, bonding experience between ultimately three strangers that met under crazy circumstances in our life, and really impacted each other on a very deep level through, you know, ayahuasca. That's
so you did a ceremony, just the three of you.
Yeah, so we did a lot of ceremonies. We took the purgativo or the vomitivo, whatever you want to call it, and it turned our stomachs upside down, and we all vomited together. That was like the within days of meeting
to
each other.
To vomit together. Oh my God.
And then I had no idea really I had done some other stuff, but I never experienced anything like ayahuasca.
So what was the most powerful thing in your ayahuasca ceremony?
The first time I took it, I remember going through like this this maze of mirrors, and somebody like coined this thing as like organic machinery, and it was scary because it was so real, but nothing like I had ever seen before, and it was really intense. And then all of a sudden, it was like I broke through, and there was like this blue sky, and it was a test. It seemed like it was a test to see what was my intention in life. And it was just showing me to myself that I have good intentions. And it goes back to like my enlightenment with social enterprise, doing something for a good cause, you know, doing something to contribute instead of mm-hmm. to selfishly mm-hmm. for selfish gain. So that's what it showed to me. And then I got the impression that I didn't need to take it anymore.
It all became clear. Yeah. I need to live for others. I need to be of service.
But because of the experience, because of how unique it was, I ended up doing it a lot more. I was in Iquitos for 2 months, and then I left, and then I came back, and was helping facilitate ceremonies and playing music at the end, which was really crazy. But it introduced me to this world that I would be working with, and that I'm beginning to work with without, you know, using anything to get there, just okay. being there on my own. So yeah, I had other moments with ayahuasca where it showed me other things, maybe like past lives or whatever. But it had to do with getting back in contact with this ability that I'm now.
Okay, so you felt that you in the one of the past lives possibly you were this healer, energy healer, using your hands.
Yeah, I was definitely somebody that helped other people, like whole Wiccan, something like that. This is funny to talk about. And it's also there was other things that showed me. Like I remember, I was every up to even what I wore into the ceremony was associated with the hallucination or with the trip that I was going through. It was almost like it was perfectly, all the ingredients were perfectly put together for me to go through this vision quest or this vision that I lived during the ceremony. It was also like a night, and there was this a lot of stuff, but ultimately it was a message to me about something, and I came out with don't forget who you are. And I carry that with me still.
So you did have a clear understanding of who you were after all the ceremonies?
Not a clear one, but I knew it was something, you know. I knew there was something with it. I knew I had to remember the intensity and the awesomeness of whatever it was that I experienced. Because like all of the ceremonies and all of the ayahuasca ceremonies we have, they're fleeting. And we try and grasp onto them. Through our words and through our memories and through sharing them, but ultimately they're like a dream, and they're like sand through our hands. They don't last, but we take from them what we can, and then we use them to integrate these lessons into our life and grow. And
that's the hardest part, to mm-hmm. integrate the lessons that yeah. we get either from the medicine or from other spiritual practices in this life.
Still doing it. Still integrating. Doing it? Yeah.
For those out there who are considering trying the medicine, do you have any advice or do you have any precaution?
Yeah, of course. Do your research. Find somebody you trust. Go with a support group. And if there's anybody in the group that you don't really feel comfortable doing the medicine with, like something's telling you that something's off with that person, would listen to your instinct. And also ask yourself, are you ready for something like this? Yeah. It's a lot. It shakes your world. I remember like crying. I was like, if anybody in my family tried this, I would feel really bad.
Really bad?
Yeah.
I felt the opposite. On one of the ceremonies, I felt, oh my gosh, I dream of me and my parents and my grandparents and my sister just doing it all together. That would just make our dynamic so much easier. I know I was bullshitting myself. Like this was never happened.
One of those good ones.
But can you believe that? That would be just so.
Yeah. I mean, profound. I had those too. I actually called my parents from the Amazon. I was like, you guys need to come here and try this. But no, there was moments where I was like, this is so unbelievably intense that I would feel so guilty, or it just hurts me to think about my mother, or, you know, my father or my sister going through something like this. So seriously ask yourself if you want to commit to
it. Yeah, and even if you need it, you might not need it this point of your life.
It's going to open up something.
Yeah. Like this is not one of the many things you can do. This is the thing. So if you feel like you're not ready yet, ayahuasca will come to you when you're ready. Mm. I feel like this is the thing with the medicine.
That's another thing.
It's going to call you when it's a good time.
Also with that, it's just so easy to access. It's everywhere, I feel like.
These days, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the guy who was doing it in Bushwick.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So,
yeah, I mean, you have to be very grounded And if you're not, I can knock you around and turn you into a seeker without the path of why you're seeking.
Yes, absolutely. What it absolutely. Is you're trying this to is do. A great advice. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I know that, I mean, I could talk about ayahuasca for forever. Sure. But guys, this is not a show about ayahuasca. This is a show about the magic hands. So I think now is a good time to get to the real gift that Peter has. Mm. If you still have any questions on the ayahuasca experience or the Peter's traveling in Latin America, give us a call at 718-928-9732. This is Radio Free Brooklyn. It's the What is Love live show. And we'll be back with you in just a few minutes after this small music break.
To me upon the strings, when I hear it, will I sing? I can't say it's my creation, stay impatient, what it brings. Let me say I'm coming humble, I don't know what's right or wrong. Just keep on believing, passing down an old, old song. An old song. Well, everybody's got that chapter of dark and darker days. Saturn seems to be returning and his essence can't be tamed. Some we like to fight it, try and plan a secret attack. But the more you push it, the more it's pushing you. Time is such a wonderful gift. You're not running out, you're really running in. Confusion clouds the heart, but it also points the way. Love is never.
Yeah, guys, you cannot rush your healing, but I have to kind of rush Peter because we only have 25 minutes left till the end of the show. This is What is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Today's topic is magic hands channeling divine energy into the human body. And my guest is Peter with the most crazy last name I've ever heard. You can check out his last name on my poster, on my social media. Peter is amazing, and he just shared with us kind of his journey through his spiritual journey through some rough times when he was trying to rediscover his origin, getting connected to his part, his family in Latin America, and then trying ayahuasca. And being in Costa Rica, learning to Spanish, learning how to play the guitar, and all that landed the job of Peter with kids. You started working with kids,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So after I came home, the overlying message I got from my experience through plant medicine had to do with energy. It was this loose term that we kind of use, but I really, felt it down there. It was palpable. It was really amazing. And there's somebody I worked with that taught me about the meridian system in the body. So it's Eastern Asian medicine, gave me an understanding that our mind is not in our head. It's circulating around us through our energy.
What's the name of this approach or the science?
The meridian system in the body.
Okay.
So that's Eastern Asian understanding of how chi or prana or mm-hmm. kundalini or however you want to coin it it circulates through us.
Okay. Prana.
In Buddhism,
is that? Yes, sure. You got it, guys. So prana, chi, kundalini yoga, chakras. Yeah, it's all related.
Yes, they acknowledge chakras in India and also in other Asian countries. So, mm-hmm. I started learning about the meridian system, and I was engaged in that. That was so fascinating because I had felt it, I experienced it in my sessions with different plant medicines, and I wanted to understand it more without having to take anything to get there. So I dove into Tai Chi and Qigong and yoga, and found myself meshed in this organization that I would go to class first, and then class was the best way to learn is to teach. So I would teach people Tai Chi and Qigong and yoga. And it was just all about physically releasing our blockages in our body through our blood circulation. So if you weren't very flexible, there's definitely physical blockages in there. So that's how we would release this through joint exercises, becoming more flexible. And then there was the stimulating blood flow in the body. This had to do with Qigong, with tapping the body and stimulating that circulation. So physically we were circulating blood, but also energetically we were circulating energy in the body. And the more you did it, the more of a magnetic push and pull you'd feel around your body. And especially we'd focus on our hands when we'd do it. I at first I didn't feel anything. Like, I didn't even believe, Well, I believed through the experiences I had prior, but I didn't know I kept at it because of the experiences I had before. So the more I did it, eventually I started to feel like after these exercises, I'd feel like there was a wall between my hands and I couldn't move my hands. And I was like, oh, that's it. That was a familiar feeling. I'd felt this before. And then that's when I got even deeper. I started teaching more, and then I started working with kids. Because and when I lived in Colombia, I taught fourth grade and I taught ninth grade.
So you taught them the energy work?
So before I taught English, but now I was taking that experience and converting into something
I
was more interested in.
But it was still officially registered as an English class.
Oh, yeah. So in Colombia, I used to teach English, but I was taking that experience into the U.S. and teaching kids something I was more interested in, that I was more engaged in, which was healing, essentially. Through building sensitivity and building an understanding of how the energy body of our physical body works and how our emotional body is connected to that and how emotional blockages can create physiological problems.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. Let's see here. What kind of an example? So like...
How the emotional blockages can cause you...
There's... So...
Physical.
Cancer. I mean, so discomfort. All right. So a small example. let's see, there's hip issues that we, that a lot of us deal with, and the hips deal are associated with our foundations, our lower back. So there's financial issues involved there. It's also our sexual energy, which leads to creativity. So I notice a lot of people that I meet, they kind of have hip issues. And it usually means that they're blocked with some creative expression that they're not able to access for whatever reason.
Can you tap into the body and understand what type of creative outlet that specific person would need?
Yeah. So usually how I work, I lay somebody down on a massage table, and I'll lead them through a guided meditation starting from the feet up. And I'll be able to, as I'm working with them and leading them, my hands kind of move to their feet, and that's when I'll start to feel energy. I'll start to feel a lot. And it takes time. You know, with anything, it requires trust to work with somebody. So I don't immediately start asking information. It's kind of like a download, if you want to call it that. But then eventually, if I get to some parts, I'll hear the association to a blockage.
Like, is it kind of like a voice in your head? How do you feel it?
The words just come. So it's just like, if you've ever sat with anybody in practice listening, like extreme listening, like if you sit quietly, it's hard. You have all these different voices. You want to jump in and say something, or you have to like affirm with like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you just sit and listen and don't try not to even think about anything, It's an amazing experience, the stuff that'll start to come.
Think that 95% of New Yorkers are able to just sit and listen to anyone.
Well, with this, I've been able to sit with a lot of people, and using the medium of energy, I hear things. I hear ideas. They're not vocal. Like they don't have like tone to them, but they're ideas that just pop out of nowhere. And I can just feel sometimes when they're not my own thoughts.
Is it fair to say that you have become a vessel of the higher intelligence or a guide message to a particular person you're working with?
Well, I will say that I am just focused on stepping out of my own way, if that makes any sense. We have a lot of trouble just getting to the point of what it is we really want. What I notice is like we get hung up on things. But when I work with somebody, it's very easy for me to just quiet down and listen. And when we just quiet down, we're able to quiet ourselves down and listen, you'll be surprised the information that comes.
So, but it also comes through your hands?
So the hands are the where I feel. Call like each one of our senses, we have an overtone to it. So we can feel hard surfaces, but we can also feel energy. That's the overtone. My hands will be guided. It's almost like a magnet is moving my hands. And then once I'm connected with where my hands need to be, where there's the blockage or where there needs to be energy, it'll intensify.
How is that different from Reiki?
I've never gone to a Reiki workshop. I've never worked with anybody like has done a Reiki session on me. So I don't want to speak for them but for Reiki practitioners all around. I appreciate, you know, it's probably very similar. But there's a bit of channeling that comes through when I do this. I've actually worked on people who teach workshops for Reiki. And I'm like, is that Reiki? And they're like, well, Reiki is, you know, it's this kind of loose term with energy. You can interpret it how you want, which I get. But then she's like, but this, I don't know if this is necessarily the same thing.
Had a Reiki session on me. I actually want to devote an episode to Reiki. I think it's quite an easy and accessible, but also powerful practice. Mm-hmm. Whatever you did to me near the bathroom, it's not Reiki.
What is the difference? What did you notice?
I think, like you said, there is not much channeling in Reiki. It's more like just quieting down and balancing the energy in your body with the use of the hands, but it's not really delivering a message from the guides. to that human being. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're a Reiki practitioner and you want to challenge me on this, give us a call, 718-928-9732. Mm-hmm. And I do want to do, again, an episode on Reiki, but it is quite different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that insight.
So how long have you been doing it for?
So a year ago, my hands were being started. I used to say that they started moving by themselves. Yeah, I started acting. But I would do work on myself, and I would kind of go through healing signs, which we associate with feeling not so great, maybe emotionally unstable, angry, sad. There's also, I started feeling like I was sick.
Physically?
Yeah. I was just tired and sore throat and headaches. And then I needed to radically change my life all of a sudden.
Don't we all need to radically change all?
Yeah. So I ended up quitting my job. And I got into, my healer, and she's been helping me a lot, kind of understand what's going on here. I immediately stopped working on people when that happened. It was, kind of her orders, because I still had a lot of blockages that I needed to work out. And, I just sat with her. She helped me a lot and energetically helped me remove all of these blockages that, you know, had I been working with people still, I could have passed over. So there's a bit of quality control to the work I do. Yeah. And it's been a lot of time. It's been a lot of tears. It's been a lot of pain. It's been a lot of money financially. But it's all worth it, because the final product is a high quality experience with something that you can't experience every day.
Well, maybe we should experience it then.
Yeah,
the high quality product. All right, guys. So I'm going to move my chair closer to Peter, but I'll still keep my mic with me. So don't worry. I'm not leaving you. And we will try to do a mini session where Peter just going to kind of try to, I don't know.
I'll just connect.
Connect, yeah. And tap into my energy with his hands. No touching, I promise. I mean, I wish we could Facebook Live this, but we'll do it next time. So stay with us, and we'll be sharing. I think Peter will be sharing his, I don't know, insights. All right, let's do it.
All right, a little closer. Okay, so if you can just close your eyes, place your hands facing up, and kind of just relax into your body. Take a deep breath in. And bring your focus to your feet. And connect your breathing to the sensation in your feet. And imagine the pores in your toes are opening up, and you're able to breathe in oxygen through your toes. You're pulling it up and relaxing. And as you become more aware of your feet, you notice where you're holding tension. And just by becoming aware of it, it starts to release. And your body starts to become a little heavier. I'm hearing the word dance. Release. Jump. Almost. Like, just by dancing, you'll be able to release whatever you're dealing with right now. Balance. Something you're seeking. No more. And maybe that exercise that I brought up with kind of intense listening is another thing you can invite into your life for yourself. It helps slow down the rhythm that you're in right now. and giving. Giving is so powerful. When we give a gift, we're giving it to ourselves. And we always give a gift when we listen to people, because then we can better listen to ourselves and what it is we need. Also hearing the word juggle. Does that mean anything to you? Are you juggling a lot of things?
I do. My spiritual practices, like we spoke earlier, I think I'm just doing a lot of trying out of different practices, trying to connect to God through different ways, and sometimes I feel I'm doing too much, and I almost become dependent on it. Yeah. And also dance. I'm like I've been wanting to go dance for the last 2 weeks so badly. Like so badly. In fact, we were planning to go out last night, but then my girlfriend decided not to, and like, it's been in my body. Like this, the feeling that I need to let it go, I need to release it. So how do you feel it? Could you tell us how do you feel?
Well, I feel it almost like the feeling of
I actually feel really dizzy right now. Hey you guys, this is What Is Love show on Radio for Brooklyn, and we just had a mini session when Peter tried to tap into my energy with his hands, and I really feel dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get dizzy easily.
Mm-hmm. It's very disorienting. So what I feel is a current that kind of comes through. That time was very much present in my heart. It's always when I connect with somebody, it's through the heart. It's through love. Love is what helps us heal. And when I speak, that's the frequency that's coming out in my voice. It's all the love in the world I have for the person that I'm sharing my time with.
So when you say things to me, like what you said about active listening, it wasn't mm-hmm. really your mind saying. You just felt that this is something that I specifically needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it's a combination of things. So when we get into a flow state, there's Stealing Fire is a really good book. That's like all of these different ways to get into this flow state. And that's when I guide through meditation, it's almost a guiding meditation for myself. When I'm able to sink through energy into a deeper state of mind, it's like how we get into our channel. It's how we get into our flow space. It's how we start speaking. It's like when I first started writing and I would look back at the things I wrote and I was like, wow. So it's what we're all accessing. So we're all trying to access when it comes to creativity. It's just connecting to our higher self or our intuition or that feeling of love.
So just specifically with, let's say, with dancing, I'm just curious, how did you figure out that I need dance?
And I just heard dance. I heard it.
You heard
felt
dance.
It. I heard. I feel it too, though. Like what did I say to you the first time we met? Do you remember when we were there?
I was so blown away that no, I don't.
So I was standing next to you, and you jumped. Do you remember when you jumped?
Because you said that I have an old soul.
Yeah, and I don't tell people you're an old soul. It just was the feeling that I got when I finally connected with you, and it was enough to shock you a little bit, apparently. So,
yeah.
I mean, being on this radio station talking about this is hard for me right now, because I consider myself very logical, and I've considered myself very logical just because of my upbringing. My sister's a lawyer. My mother worked in IT. My father works in sales. There's not really the extrovert to the nth power that I'm now surrounded with. So I still battle with what it is that I'm doing when I do my healing sessions with people, but I feel like that helps me connect even further and come from a more honest place.
Can you give us a few other examples when you worked with other people? What were some of the messages that you received for them during the session?
They range from a lot of people who haven't had a sexual partner for a long time. That's one thing. there's sicknesses that, you know, range from all types of different things. There's low energy than others. I literally, when I first connect with people, it's just pumping them full of energy so that they can release the stuff that's been sitting in them for a long time. So it's very draining on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like I'm literally giving them a whole fresh new amount of energy so that they can use that to get rid of the old stuff that doesn't serve them anymore, that's holding them back or weighing them down. So I'm new at this. You know, I just started getting back into it after I healed myself. So being on this radio station is really interesting. It's I'm such a new healer.
Newborn healer.
Yeah,
well, Peter, the newborn healer, we only have a few minutes left and I want you to play the song for us. Mm-hmm. I know it's your kind of also medium for healing and you have such a beautiful voice. You can start unpacking your guitar. And you guys, this is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you would like to meet with Peter personally, please reach out to him on Instagram. He's on my personal Instagram page.
Yeah, it's at Pitaris, PITARIS. And my webpage is circulartouch.com.
Circulartouch.com. That's quite easy to remember. Circulartouch.com. Get in touch with Peter. By the way, he's held an amazing vegan brunch early today at his place. So Peter loves to connect with others and to, you know, share his gift of clearing the energy with anyone who needs it. So please keep in touch with myself and with Peter and stay with Radio Free Brooklyn. And now live on What Is Love Show, Peter's gonna sing one of his creations.
Mm-hmm. Let me just fix this real quick. I said the wind, it whispers in my ears, telling me about all my fears and fits of sorrow that pass through tomorrow are never here to stay. So I remove my memories, keeping me from the real me, and all those mistakes no longer stare me in the face. Because I'm on my way out and into the world to scream and shout my color and creativity as my therapy. That's when I notice I'm not alone. It's when I notice where we're going. I said, we are just one in a giant flow, and we're forging our rivers together. We'll grow to share our song and grow stronger. I said, we take risks to release our gifts that are given at birth to change all of this for better or worse. We'll make it work.